Okay, the third and final case this morning for argument is 13-1255 GRK Canada v. U.S. Mr. Kenner? Not that often we see the government on this side, so I've got to get used to that.
Good morning, Your Honor. This decision needs to be reversed because it violates well-settled precedent that tariff terms have to be construed in accordance with their common meaning, and that use is an important factor in determining classification even under an AO nominee provision.
Let me ask you about that, because it seems to be clearly that's the heart of the case. And, I mean, the district court was the CIT judge was driven to what you may call an extreme or, you know, position. But we want to keep some distinction between use provisions and not. And so I'm looking for what the limiting principle is, if there is one, on the use of use in the e-nominee context.
Well, use is important for two reasons in this case. First, use can be part of an AO nominee common meaning. For example, in Lenron, where this court found affirmed the trial court in finding that the AO nominee term vanity case was a small case used to carry makeup, and indeed, this court said to be classified under the AO nominee provision vanity case, it would have to be the predominant use.
But it doesn't convert the AO nominee to a use provision.
Certainly not. It's giving the common meaning, the proper common meaning, to the AO nominee tariff term. And secondly,
can you think of an example beyond Lenron?
This case, Your Honor, I mean, we have Backpack in Camelback, where this court talked about how use was an important factor in AO nominee provision, citing to Quan Quan, where it talked about...
We'll leave Quan Quan to one side because you're citing Quan Quan for your second meeting. So you put Camelback in the vanity case line of cases, right?
Certainly. Backpack is a bag designed to use carrier personal effects. If you cut off the use component of these AO nominee terms, vanity case would simply be any small case. And just like when you cut off for use in wood from other wood screws, now you're left with just essentially screws, and that's why you get overlapping provisions here in a GRI 3C analysis.
Okay, so anything more about the limiting principle that you think we
should... What's the second? You refer to these two provisions at page 15 in your brief, right?
Yes, it's the two provisions are other wood screws and self-tapping screws.
And what's the second use in paramount importance in determining what it is? What does that mean?
Certainly. When you're classifying merchandise, as this court said in Camelback, in addition to looking at things like physical size, features, use is of paramount importance to understanding what an item is for purposes of proper classification. And that's, you know, even more important here, we have an AO nominee term that incorporates a use component.
So that's what you think Quan Quan is?
I believe Quan Quan says
can
that you
give that to me again, though. Articulate it to me again, because
Quan Quan.
No, the second limiting principle on when we use in the nominee context.
The first one being when the common meaning itself has a use component, and second in classification, not under it just AO nominee provision, but all provisions, you have to look at the use of merchandise to understand what it is and where it falls within the tariff schedule.
Is that a fact question?
Yes, it is a fact question.
Because ordinarily, when you're trying to determine what the classification means, that's a legal question.
Yes, Your Honor.
So if we say, okay, this legal what this means is X, then we ask whether or not this particular product fits X.
Yes, Your Honor.
So you had baskets in Quan Quan. Right?
Yes, Your Honor.
AO nominee for baskets. And the accused device was, according to Judge Rich, a basket. He said so. It can be used as a basket. But it, in fact, wasn't being used as a basket. It was being used as a part of a piece of furniture.
Certainly, in all classification cases, you have to determine the scope of the heading.
Right, but when you're making that second step to say, well, is this thing a basket, yes or no, then that's a fact question.
Yes, Your Honor.
So what Judge Rich was doing in the CCPA was saying he's going to decide the fact issue that in that case, the accused devices were not baskets, they were pieces of furniture.
Yes, Your Honor, that is true. That goes to the second, once you determine the scope of the heading, it's a factual question as to the features, uses, to figure out under which provision it falls.
In that case, the facts were in dispute. In this case, they're not.
There is no dispute in the facts on the...
So we're not looking at any factual issues here.
No, Your Honor. The features...
To put this case in Quang Quang setting, we would be saying, well, somebody comes along and says, I think it's a self-tapping screw. And we say, no, it's not a self-tapping screw. It's a wood screw. As a matter of fact, on the second step, assume that was agreed that the proper classification was a self-tapping screw.
And I guess you would look to the fact.
Yeah, assuming that, then in this case, the employer would come along and say, well, it's not a self-tapping screw.
Yes, you would look to the intended use.
Used for wood, so therefore, on the second step, as a matter of fact.
Yes, Your Honor. There's no dispute as to the facts of. The features of these screws, the intended uses of these screws, which put them squarely within...
Which case is this? Is this a number one case? Is this a Lenron case? Or is this a Quang Quang fact?
This is both, Your Honor. First, the court undertook a common meaning analysis, but excised the use component from the definition of
wood screws. But the court didn't make any finding of fact.
It made factual determination as what the features of these screws... And the intended uses of these screws, Your Honor.
Right, but the step two, the Quang Quang fact test, we would have to be saying we rule as a matter of fact that these things are wood screws and are not self-tapping screws.
I don't know if I follow you.
How would you apply this second step of the fact analysis to the facts of this case?
You would have to look to determine whether the screws at issue are indeed intended primarily for wood use, and those facts are not in dispute. There's not a dispute as to the features of the R4 screw, the RT or fin trim. There's no dispute as to what these features are for, and there's no dispute as to the intended purposes of these screws. So once the common meaning of other wood screws is properly determined to be, as the dictionaries and the other sources say, screws primarily for use in wood. In other words,
what were the grounds that Judge Bargley used for saying she's not going to look at use?
She says this is an AO nominee provision, not a use provision, and any consideration of use would be improperly converting an AO nominee provision into a use provision.
Didn't she say, I'm not going to pay attention to the previous case law?
Certainly, she says she was not going to follow the Customs Court case, but even putting the Customs Court cases aside, you still have the run-of-the-mill classification case, and the first step in any classification case is determining the common meaning of the tariff terms.
Well, in fairness, I think, she cited Carl Zeiss, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And the quote is that you shouldn't read a use limitation into an EO nominee provision unless the name itself inherently suggests a type of use.
Here we have other wood screws, and unless that means screws made of wood, it has to mean screws for use in wood, and indeed...
So you're saying adherence to Carl... You're saying... That ought to be the limiting. I mean, this is the limiting principle, right? You don't take issue with the fact that you don't look at use in an EO nominee unless the name itself inherently suggests a type of use?
Certainly, Your Honor. This is the exception to Carl Zeiss.
You agree with her statement of the law?
Generally speaking, AO nominee for the tariff terms don't incorporate use unless the term itself infers a use. Like here, you have other wood screws.
Well, is that what was happening in the vanity case, Lenron?
In Lenron, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Well, you've told me earlier this is a Lenron case.
No, my point with Lenron is that there is nothing absurd about having an AO nominee common meaning incorporate an intended use.
Well, is that what you're saying should happen here?
Yes, Your Honor. If you look at the dictionary definitions cited by the court itself, universally they talk about an intended use in wood. If you look at the industry materials...
But that's so you're saying this case satisfies Carl Zeiss?
Absolutely, Your Honor. And once you've determined the proper scope of the term other wood screws, it's clear that the screws here fit that.
Well, even if you're right, I mean, I think what's troubling Judge Clevenger a little, and I agree, is that it seems like Lenron and also Camelback may have gone a little beyond that limitation. In terms of saying we are looking at use. Here you've got wood screws. Maybe you think that's a good,
It's certainly.
But how do you reconcile Carl Zeiss with Lenron? What was going on in Lenron?
Carl Zeiss dealt with microscopes, and the plaintiff's argument in that case was the AO nominee provision, microscopes, that covers all microscopes except those for surgical and medical use. And what Carl Zeiss is talking about is you can't exclude certain microscopes from an aonomic provision for all microscopes. And like here we have aonomic provision for other wood screws. You can't take the use component out of wood screws simply because of an aonomic provision. I see my time is up. I'll reserve the remainder for rebuttal.
Your time is up. In any event, Judge Rayner has a question.
So you were referring to the dictionaries that were relied on, but it seems to me that the record is pretty clear that the industry itself looks at these screws in terms of its physical characteristics.
There are two specifications, yes, but those are not the common meaning. The industry has a glossary, B1812, which has the definition of wood screws, which talks about specifications and then ends with that are designed to be produced resin, wood, and other resilient materials, which is in accord with the common dictionary definition cited by the court and also in accord with the Customs Court previous precedent talking about wood screws.
But I seem to recall, and I'll find my citation here, that the industry classifications end up looking at these type of screws and saying that these are self-tapping because these are self-tapping screws because they're not hardened, and they can also be used for sheet metal, other highly resilient materials, and wood.
The screws at issue here are designed to affix certain. The R4 screw is certainly designed to affix non-wood materials to wood. But as the director of IFI, the National Fastener Institute, testified, the industry definition of wood screws are those designed to be anchored into wood, and these clearly fit within that definition.
But these screws can also anchor into sheet metal.
No, they do not anchor to sheet metal.
They can.
I do not believe that these.
And the record shows that.
There's actually testimony from GRK's own 30B6 that these, when the R4 is talked about the use of sheet metal, is to affix sheet metal to wood. These aren't the type of screws that affix sheet metal to sheet metal. They're designed for thin fascia to a wooden frame of sorts.
It can penetrate sheet metal.
Certainly, yes, Your Honor. It does penetrate thin sheets of sheet metal to affix it to a wooden member.
In the previous cases that looked at wood screws, showed that those screws could not penetrate metal.
They could not in that case. However, I'd like to point out even the dictionary definition cited by the court talk about wood screws can be used for to affix wood to wood or metal to wood or metal to woodwork.
Wood screws on steroids.
At best, these screws are enhanced wood screws, but wood screws nominally classifiable under the aonomic provision covering all wood screws.
What do you make of the explanatory note that's applicable here and that the CIT relied on? And it goes on and says that use limitation should not be read into an aonomic provision unless the name itself inherently suggests a type of a use. Then it goes on and talks about the statement at the end listing the materials in which they say they can't cut their own passage into thin sheets of metal, and that's whether you adhere the metal to wood or not, I would imagine, marble, slate, and plastics, does not manifest a clear direction to limit self-tapping screws to the type of materials in which they are used.
I disagree. The common meaning, as the dictionary definitions talk about, and they talk about the difference between wood screws are those designed to be used for wood. Otherwise, you would have two subheadings under the same heading covering the same merchandise.
The explanatories are not authoritative, but they are. They do provide guidance to the court, don't they?
Certainly, the explanatory notes do not indicate that they affix thin sheet metal to wood or marble to wood. It just says they can cut their own passages through there. And the limitation on those are those that are designed to anchor into wood or other wood screws.
Would your argument be different if these screws could attach sheet metal to sheet metal?
Then they would be sheet metal screws, or as the court talked about, Parker screws. And indeed, they would be different. It would be a different scenario. But these screws are not sufficient for affixing metal to metal, and primarily they're designed to affix, they are for anyway, thin sheet metal to wood. The fin trim and RT, there's no evidence in the record, and there's no recommendation from GRK that those are to be used with sheet metal.
What's the difference in the physical characteristics between a self-tapping screw that can adhere metal to metal and a self-tapping screw that can adhere metal to wood?
Well, I would say a screw that affixes metal to wood would be a wood screw. However,
it's a physical difference. Not names. That's the problem with the use provision. We can't deal with the names. What and the USHTS drives us first, and the guidance drives us first to the physical characteristics. What's the difference in the physical characteristics between a self-tapping screw that adheres metal to metal and a self-tapping screw that adheres metal to wood?
You would have a full threading on a self-tapping screw that would hold metal to metal because it would have to hold the two pieces of metal together. The wood screws generally have an unthreaded portion, so there's no gap between the wood and the metal. You have different types of threads, high-low threads. You have different thread angles on screws that are used for metal versus wood. For example, you have testimony that an angle under 60 degrees is good for wood but not good for metal because it can cause metal collapse.
You could build your case and your opposition to the court's decision based on physical characteristics alone.
Certainly physical characteristics, they inform what the intended use are going to be. But if you look at the court's definitions, they're overlapping definitions because wood screws can be case-hardened, self-tapping screws can be case-hardened.
Doesn't the GRs drive you to look at physical characteristics first?
The general rules of interpretation tell us to look at the common meaning of the terms first. And then once we determine the common meaning, GRI 1 says the language is paramount. And once we determine the proper common meaning, then we look at the screw's physical characteristics, uses, to determine under which provision it falls.
We'll ask, what is it about the manner in which the Judge Barsley used the GRs that you find was incorrect? That's how she based her entire case on.
Certainly, it was incorrect because she got past GRI 1 by improperly construing the common meaning of the terms. Had you have a proper construction of the terms, it would have been classification pursuant to GRI 1. It would not have gotten to GRI 3, which she concedes is supposed to be rarely used in any event. And what you have here is now two overlapping subheadings under the same heading.
So for you, this really is not a case about use.
It's a case about common meaning.
Okay.
But common meaning is informed by use.
Absolutely. The common meaning of wood screws, it does have a use component. Absolutely.
Okay. You've gone over. We'll restore 2 minutes of rebuttal, and we'll add 3 minutes to Mr. Ziegler's time to keep things even.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Craig Ziegler, and it's my privilege to represent GRK Canada, the importer of the screws at issue here. I think where the government has gone wrong is focusing on use almost exclusively, where we have here aeonomine provisions, which this Court has said consistently, you start out on the aeonomine classification by looking at the name itself, what does the name mean, and particularly what are the common and commercial meanings of the name as it's understood in the industry itself? We look very practically to see how in reality, the industry considers and classifies these different kinds of screws. What we have here is we have standards published by a neutral, industry-wide standards publishing body, which talk about distinguishing wood screws and self-tapping screws on the basis of physical characteristics. And use is not a part of that, at least as to self-tapping screws. And the government focuses only on a definition of wood screws and says wood screws are screws used in wood. And the definition that they cite in the standard glossary of terms, that's the B18.12, talk about wood screws have certain characteristics and are generally used in wood. But the definition for self-tapping screws does not have any sort of use limitation on it. And the reason for that is that, self-tapping screws evolved out of wood screws. They are wood screws on steroids. They have additional physical characteristics that wood screws do not because they have to perform enhanced capabilities to perform their function, like penetrating materials that are much harder and denser than wood, like plastics, sheet metal, marble, slate, the kinds of things the explanatory notes tell us distinguish self-tapping screws from mere wood screws. And use certainly has some role to play, but it's not where you start, and it's not what you look at exclusively of everything else like the government has been doing here.
I mean, if use has some role to play, and a trial court says use has no role to play, then couldn't one think that the trial court used the wrong analytic tools?
No, the trial court here did use the right analytic tools.
No, but I mean, if the trial judge, as I understood it, said I'm not going to consider use, period.
Because if they did that, Your Honor,
you just told me a minute ago that use is important.
use can be, in the appropriate circumstances, Your Honor, a factor to interpret what does the word mean. As Carl Zeiss, the court said to Carl Zeiss, you don't read an aonomene provision into, you don't read a use limitation into an aonomene classification unless the name inherently suggests the type of use. So in an appropriate situation where, like, you know, where the definition of a vanity bag is...
The name is wood.
Well, yeah, but you look at the... That's true.
That's the name. The name says wood screw.
Right. And the definition of a wood screw under the standards, that B18.12, talks about a wood screw that has certain characteristics and is generally used in wood. But there's another definition for self-tapping screws, which you have to look at as well, and how the industry recognizes self-tapping screws. It's by their physical characteristics, which means they're case-hardened or heat-treated and case-hardened to make them harder so that they can satisfy minimal torsional strength requirements so they don't snap off when they're driven into hard and dense materials. That they have additional physical characteristics that wood screws don't have, and that's the distinguishing characteristic. So use might be a factor in understanding what wood screws are, but it's not. There's no limitation in the definition as to use on the definition of self-tapping screws. So that here you look at the physical characteristics, and there are certain physical characteristics that are identified in the industry-published standards that say self-tapping screws have these characteristics. They are hardened. They have...
Are they fully threaded?
They can be. Very short, they're fully threaded, but if they're longer, the threading varies. And again, for the wood screw standard, it says the threading is always two-thirds of the shank. But in the self-tapping screws, the standard allows that that area of threading can vary considerably. Again, that's a difference between self-tapping screws and wood screws. And in this case, GRK screws in particular, they can, very short ones are threaded the whole way, very long ones, and there are some that are, you know, this long, Your Honor, where the threading is only a couple inches, less than half of the shank. And again, that does not...
So on your theory, these under GR1, these are properly classified as self-tapping.
That's correct.
So the trial judge erred.
The trial court...
What I'm trying to get at here, sir, is that the folks up in New York do this stuff all the time, and we don't. And there are, hoops you have to jump through. There's a methodology you have to use. And we know that Judge Barsley said use is not involved here. And she said it could be either one.
She said it's not involved in this particular situation
she says that they're equally satisfy GR1, and you disagree with that.
I disagree with that, Your Honor, and this is why.
So maybe we ought to say let her understand that use can be relevant, and let her decide whether use is relevant in this case. And if it's not relevant, as you say, she will quickly come to the conclusion that you're right and that she was wrong previously, to default to a seldom, if ever, used provision. There's something wrong here. All I'm trying to say is you're telling me that she made a mistake, and your adversary is telling me she made a mistake, and you're asking us to sort of sort it out where use may or may not be involved. I don't know.
Well, here's where I think we can answer
how
we can...
What do you do with all the evidence about what these screws are used for?
Here's where I think we can answer that question, Your Honor.
But what do you do with the factual record we have here?
The factual record, in fact,
screws are used as wood screws.
The factual record here is that the government improperly focuses only on one aspect of the two things that these screws are designed to connect together. They're screw fasteners that can connect one thing to another. And they focus only on what the screw is anchored into, which is mostly wood in our situation.
What did your expert say at A484?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Didn't your expert say these are wood screws?
No, he said that oftentimes...
484? These screws are designed to anchor into wood?
And that's true. They usually are. But before they get there, Your Honor, they have to penetrate something else. Before they can fasten something to that wood or whatever it is they're going to be anchored into, which could be other things besides wood. It could be...
I use the majority of these screws in wood.
That is true, Your Honor. But they can also be used not only in anchored in wood, but anchored into man-made materials that are not wood. Composite decking material, which is mostly sawdust, glues, and resins, which are much harder.
But does that make them non-wood screws?
Yes, it does, Your Honor.
Why?
Because You have to look at both what they anchor into and also what they have to penetrate first.
The wood screws covers all varieties of wood screws, including screws of wood that can go into metal.
But you have to understand, there's also a definition of self-tapping screws, and the industry out there recognizes.
If you've got a screw that's going to go through very hard wood, like Ipeg in Brazil,
right.
It's going to go through a tiny piece of tin, too. You know that.
Exactly.
Right. But that doesn't make it a self-tapping screw.
But a wood screw won't go. A wood screw won't go through the Ipeg, Your Honor, because it's too hard. A wood screw goes through what we consider, you know, wood like maple, cherry, you know, that kind of thing. But what we have here, Your Honor, is the wood can get.
How do we know a wood screw wouldn't go through Ipeg?
Well, it's just too hard, Your Honor. It doesn't. I mean,
it's a hardened wood screw.
Well, but the point, Your Honor, is that.
And it's got this, you know, it's got the all of the indications of a wood screw.
But, Your Honor, self-tapping screws have more than that because they also can penetrate other materials, as the explanatory notes identify, and you have to penetrate those materials before you can anchor it into anything. So they can penetrate the sheet metal, they can penetrate marble, plastics, slate, which are not wood materials, not fibrous materials. And the other thing, too, is if you look at the definitions of wood screws versus self-tapping screws in terms of physical characteristics, wood screws, the definition in the standards, talk about wood screws being thread-forming screws. They form their mating threads by compressing the material around them.
Did Judge Bartley make a mistake in how she interpreted what wood screws are? Because she set up a definition for both wood screws and self-tapping screws. And
yes, she did.
The definition isn't exactly what you're telling me the industry said. I'm just trying to find out how many more mistakes she made other than the big mistake she made on both of your sides.
What mistake that Judge Barcelet made, Your Honor, was that she identified on page 22 of the opinion certain characteristics of self-tapping screws, which we agree with. Then she went on to say, but these screws here also satisfy certain characteristics of wood screws. And I think that's also on page 22 of the opinion. But the point is that the characteristics of wood screws are not unique to wood screws. And that's where she went astray. Because obviously if a screw is hardened sufficiently that it can has the torsional strength requirements to penetrate very hard and dense materials like plastics and sheet metal and marble and those kinds of things, well, of course it can also anchor into wood.
A self-tapping screw will go through wood.
Well, of course, because it's softer than the materials that the self-tapping screw is designed to penetrate. So obviously if
a self-tapping screw will go through concrete, it'll go through wood.
Well, yes.
Even
yes, exactly. Right. Exactly, Your Honor. So it's really the characteristics that allow the self-tapping screw to penetrate those harder and denser materials that wood screws can't, that transform these into something other than wood screws. There's something beyond that, a new EO nominate classification called self-tapping screws. And you have to understand, and we've referred to this in our brief, self-tapping screws have evolved out of wood screws.
There's a heading that says wood screws that are self-tapping.
You could have said that, Your Honor, yes. And really, because, you know, given the history and recognizing commercial reality.
The HTS, it's obvious it can't cover every product in the world. Even though it's three thick, big, fat volumes, it can't cover.
Right.
So. And to get a classification, to create a new classification is pretty difficult because we have a harmonized schedule with the rest of the world. So it's not a good answer, I think, to say, yeah, there could be another one just for this particular product.
Well, what happened here, Your Honor, is that back in the old, before the harmonized tariff schedules, you had
the HTS.
Right, the HTUS. We only had wood screws and other screws.
There were no self-tapping screws.
There were no self-tapping screws. It was what we would now call a self-tapping screw with an other screw.
And all the cases dealing with wood screws that were decided under the HTSUS were screws that were not hardened.
That's correct. That's correct, Your Honor. And the two cases that were cited by everybody here.
And another thing is after that, the GR has changed from the HTSUS to the U.S. to the current tariff schedule, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
Let me ask you this question. We're talking a lot about use. Isn't there a difference, like a term of art, when you say intended use versus just merely use? Doesn't intended use go to the good at its state of importation to describe it at the time of importation? That's what the court said I'm not going to rely on.
Intended use does obviously, you look at what the intended use is at the time of importation. You can't tell how it's actually going to be used, obviously. And I think, to be fair, what the court below really said was that use isn't helpful here. I mean, it could be, use can be a factor in looking at an ANOMA classification in appropriate circumstances. Carl Zeiss tell us, you know, be careful. Don't convert an ANOMA into a use provision unless the name itself suggests that. But it can be useful, but maybe not here when we have industry-wide published standards that focus on physical characteristics that differentiate wood screws from self-tapping screws. And what you have here is those additional physical characteristics that, you know, and part of the problem is that, as the explanatory notes say, self-tapping screws resemble wood screws because they evolved out of them.
Why doesn't the name here suggest use? Why doesn't the name wood screw suggest use?
It does. And if you look at the definition of wood screw...
It suggests use in wood.
That's correct. And if you look at the definition of wood screw in the standard glossary of terms, which is B18.12, it talks about having certain kinds of heads, certain kinds of points, and generally used in wood or other resilient materials. And that's true for a wood screw. But the self-tapping screw, there's a definition of that as well in the standards. And that definition does not talk about use. It doesn't talk about used in wood or used in metal or anything like that. It's not limited that way.
If she had properly done her case here, she would have said, according to you, I'm not going to violate Carl Zeiss. I'm going to say in this particular case, when construing the wood screw provision, I'm going to say use is implied. And I'm going to look at what the standard definition of wood is. And I'm going to say, well, for a wood screw, use is involved.
Correct.
Not what she said. Like, hello. Not at all what she said. But that would have been if she'd done it correctly. And then she would have said, well, I realize all of that, but self-tapping screws don't have any use limitation. So I'm now going to have a definition for self-tapping screws. And I'm going to come up with it, right?
Well, and she did.
And so then she has to say, well, now I got to decide whether these two and whether the goods are equally classifiable under either, right? Because she can't get to GR3 right. And then 3 to the basket without that.
Right.
But she would not have said that these screws are equally classifiable under both wood correctly interpreted with use involved, huh? Because she would have said these are self-tapping screws.
That's where she went awry in our view, Your
right.
Honor.
But if we were to write that opinion, and match that opinion up against her opinion and ask any first-year law student whether there's any difference between the two opinions, they would all say, there is a world of difference.
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor. And obviously this court looks
at... What I'm just wondering is whether out of courtesy to this very fine judge, the fine judge ought to have an opportunity to hear these arguments the first time instead of us. All the mistakes she made.
This court could conclude that, Your Honor, obviously.
You're not saying that the court erred in the classification. You're just saying she got there differently than what you would have.
Well, obviously, if this court wants to affirm on the basis of the lower court, my client will go home happy. But obviously, I think...
Okay, this could be a harmless error. I mean, from your point of view.
That's true, Your Honor. But I think, to be fair, and since this court looks at these questions, you know, de novo, it applies the law in a plenary review kind of situation.
We can agree with you and write the opinion and say, Judge Barsley, you were wrong. And since it's important to have a precedential opinion, these screws have been lying around since, what, 2008?
Before that, Your Honor.
It was before that.
but these particular ones, yeah.
So you've got millions of screws all tied up waiting for a proper classification.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And there are a lot of other people in the screw business, too, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So they would like to know what the correct analysis is, right?
That's
and
true.
And ordinarily, they get it from the Court of National Trade.
However, the facts are here in a record that this court could make that decision without sending it back to the Court of International Trade. Because the evidence, the facts of record is that these screws, although, yes, they can be anchored into wood, but to do that, they first have to be able to penetrate the kinds of hard and dense materials that wood screws can't. Plastics, sheet metal, slate, that kind of stuff. Those facts are of record. And this court can apply the law, you know, in a plenary fashion as well as the Court of International Trade can do and issue a precedential opinion that'll help the industry. And when you look at, you know, what physical characteristics distinguish and separate these particular screws from wood screws, they're clearly self-tapping screws. And the court, I think, where they went wrong. She went wrong. She talked about, on page 22 of her opinion, the physical characteristics that make self-tapping screws self-tapping screws. And those, we satisfy all of those. Then she went on to say, but they also share some characteristics with wood screws, which is true, but the characteristics of wood screws she identified in that page, same page, 22 of the opinion, are not unique to wood screws. Yes, they describe wood screws to some extent, but they're not unique to wood screws. Self-tapping screws share those qualities as well because necessarily, if they can penetrate hard materials, they can penetrate soft materials like wood as well. So that's where the court went wrong.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Just very briefly, Your Honor, this is a common meaning error. The common meaning of wood screws, it seems like everyone understands, incorporates an intended use, and that intended use is the primary purpose for anchoring into wood. These screws, all their features are specially designed to fulfill that function from their self-countersinking heads.
Wait. Are you disagreeing with your adversary saying, well, the district court, the judge here made some mistakes in the analysis? He's saying, well, these are no question about wood screws. The wood screw provision is limited by use. That's what he just said. That's your argument, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
But he said you can't win because we now have to go over and have a correct interpretation of self-tapping screws. We got a correct interpretation of self-tapping screws, and then we asked, well, what are these screws in issue? Which ones are they?
I disagree. The court got the correct analysis for self-tapping screws as well because that is also informed by use. If you look at the dictionary definition cited by the court for the term self-tapping, they all refer to anchoring to things like metal, which would otherwise require tapping or bolting.
Isn't your argument that the classification was incorrect because you start off with a common understanding of the name?
Yes, common meaning.
So let me ask you a question. We're talking about wood screws. Have you ever seen a wooden screw?
No, Your Honor, I have not.
Well, I have. I mean, with a baby play set, you know, that a construction set?
Yes, Your Honor.
Those are wood screws.
Certainly, but the EN's talk
so
about...
So how do you get beyond that?
The explanatory notes and the dictionary definitions all talk about metal screws designed to anchor to wood.
So it's not just a common name. I mean, you may start there. In fact, you start there to find out which chapter of the HTS you need to go to. And then after that, you drop down and you start the classification analysis with the GRs.
Yes, right. You start with GRI-1 and you determine the common meaning of the terms.
That's GR-1, and then after GR-2 is the physical characteristics?
GRI-2, I believe, is unfinished goods, Your Honor. The GRIs are applied in numerical order. First, you look to the terms of the heading. Sorry, my time is up. But the court erred on common meaning, and this case needs to be reversed.
Thank you. We thank both counsel. The case is submitted. That concludes our proceedings this morning.
All rise.